This is Beyond the Divide, traversing the experiences in the world of disability. I'm Harrison Kirkwood, your host for this podcast series, produced by Singleton Council and proudly supported by the New South Wales State Government. My guest today is Tony Ovington. Tony is a new resident of Singleton, moving here in the last few years. He is a passionate tennis player who has sat on various council advisory committees. Tony is someone who has also experienced a traumatic workplace accident that changed his experience in life. Hi, Tony. How are you going?
Great, Harrison.
Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Can you tell me a bit about where you grew up and what your early years of your life were like, Tony?
Yes, Harrison. I was born in Albury, and I was at school, right through school there, and left in 1970 to start Steelworks at Wollongong, where I worked as a metallurgist for 15 years at Steelworks, prior to taking a retirement package from there and bought a couple of milk runs in Campbelltown. And that was a crazy part of my life, working 16 hours a day, 6 days a week. It certainly changed events. Yeah, When I was working on the milk runs, I discovered I had type 1 diabetes, which sort of threw my life out in a bit of a tailspin for starters. I thought that was bad. But then it got a bit worse when I had my little accident down in Eden in 2009. And I had an accident with a crane and jumped off a crane as it was tipping over and didn't land too well. And end up on workers' comp. They spent 2 years trying to save my leg and tried all sorts of, I think I did a scenic tour of every private hospital in Canberra because it was workers' comp, and I think they were trying to make a few dollars out of it. All credit to all the GPs and specialists that tried to save my leg, but unfortunately it didn't work out, and it was sort of got infections in the bones of my leg, and the only thing they could really do was to amputate my leg. And once they did that, I've never been so well in all my life as I've been since I had the amputation. But thanks to psychological help, get me through the traumas of amputation. I now can find different ways to do most things in life, and still continue to play tennis to this day. And I've had a few games, try to have a few games of golf, but haven't succeeded. I ended up putting those in the rubbish bin. But I've got a new dog, and I walk the dog every second day, and my wife walks it the other day. So it gives me plenty of exercise, and I try to keep fit, which is a good thing when you're trying to live as long as you can.
So prior to your accident, you were a pretty active, kind of energetic person, would you say?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And when you had your accident, what was that like in terms of the emotional impact? Did you feel like you weren't going to be able to return to a life somewhat similar to your living before your accident? And did you think that you weren't perhaps going to be able to do the things that you would still be able to do?
Yeah, well, when I first had the accident, I thought I just broke my leg and I put a cast on it and I'll be still able to go to the Christmas party, because it was just before Christmas in 2009. But meanwhile, 2 years later, after, as I say, doing the scenic tour of every private hospital in Canberra and spending a lot of time in rehab, and fortunately, workers' comp got me a really good prosthetic leg. This is it's got a computer in it. I have to charge it up every 3 to 4 days to go through all its activities. And I can live pretty much almost a normal life, as far as I can see anyway.
Yeah. So before your accident, did you know much about life with disability, or did you have much close connection to someone with a disability, close family or friends?
Not a real lot, no. Just, as I said, my sister that's got rheumatoid arthritis and had to have just about all the joints replaced, and she's battled on, but she's actually one of the fitter ones in the family now, so... It's great. She's not so much found a way through it, but found a way around it, and she managed to live a good, comfortable life.
And what are some of the things that have helped you along the way in your rehabilitation and recovery from your accident? you mentioned the psychological support, but is there other practical supports that have helped you along the way?
Yeah, I sort of I got involved with Limbs for Life. I did a course to be a counsellor with them, and I've quite regularly get calls from Limbs for Life, people that are about to have amputations or have just had amputations, and they try to sort of point people of similar age to me that have quite often had diabetic problems and not sort of looked after themselves a bit, ended up having to have limbs amputated, and to try and show them that there's ways through. Yeah, just have someone that's already been there know that they can find ways to get around their amputations and you know, learn to walk in a prosthetic leg and all those sort of things. It sort of helps, you know, them, I think. It feels makes me feel good too, to be able to help to maybe, you know, give them some sort of reassurance that life goes on.
Yeah, and I guess that sort of perhaps continues to help your own journey, I suppose, feeling a bit empowered and encouraged that you can give back to other people who are not as far along the journey as perhaps you are.
Yeah. It really helps.
Yeah. What advice would you give to people who are perhaps facing the prospect of having their limb amputated? What would you tell them that would perhaps help them along the way that you wish that you knew earlier on?
Yeah, I guess maybe just if they can possibly get any psychological help, because it's sort of, you know, I had it from a couple of different psychologists. You know, as I said, I was fortunate mine was workers' compensation, and they, no expense was spared that way. But the biggest issue that I found from a lot of people facing amputations, they sort of don't realise that there is help available, and they try to take it all off and do it themselves, and sometimes it can feel like it's too big and too hard to get around it. You know, it's easy to sort of, you know, sit back in a chair and say, oh, life's too hard, and just give up, throw their hands up in the air. But, you know, I think the best thing you can do is have a positive attitude all your way through your life and try and think positively all the time. And you know, I found, you know, whenever I've started to feel a bit down and stuff like that, I try and just sort of say, hang on, you know, this is not helping me. You know, I need to get off the backside, get out and do some walking or do some whatever, gardening, do whatever, to just try and, you know, keep life a bit, you know, better for myself as well.
And what are some of the things that people with legs take for granted, struggles for people like you that we wouldn't think of?
Just things like, you know, I brought it up the last, you know, disabilities meeting about, you know, some places where there's ramps with, but no handrails, which is, you know, a real difficulty for me. It's easy walking up a ramp, but going down a ramp is reasonably difficult when you're on a, you know, above the knee amputation. And, yeah, you sort of, it's young people that have better balance and that can probably manage it a lot easier than what older crocs like me can do. But it's, you know, just little things like that, little places like, I know, down John Street, there's a few shops with steps going into them. And I know it's probably two-edged swords. If they get rid of the little step, then the stormwater is probably going to come in there next heavy rain season. So they're trying to keep the rainwater out of their shops. But the effect of causing problems with disabilities or even people with walking sticks and they have trouble lifting their feet from getting in there.
Yes, there's lots of implications in the physical environment and socially too, I suppose. What are your thoughts on how society at large views people with disability? Do you think that they understand the needs of people with disability well, or is it that trend still emerging, or what are your thoughts?
I think the trend's definitely still emerging. There's a lot of people that just take, for instance, you know, playing tennis with the tennis players down there. They're, you know, it's an older group play on Mondays and Fridays. Yes, and most of them are in their 70s and 80s, and they really accept me into the community, try to help me, tell me about events coming up. They organise social days, like their Christmas party is in party, but I'm sure I'll see some of them at the John Street Christmas party as well, which I think is a really, you know, good thing that the Singleton Council does for a community in Singleton, and
Yeah, and in terms of your prosthetic leg, do you require any sort of support with that from, you know, medical interventions with the computer programming of that? And if so, is that reasonably accessible in Singleton?
Yeah, it's not too bad now. I used to have to go to Canberra to have it done all the time. And that was a 5-hour drive to Canberra, and then overnight accommodation and that sort of stuff. But I've since discovered there's some prosthetic technicians at John Hunter Hospital, and now I've started going to them. I've been twice this year to have some issues sorted out with my leg, and every 12 months they take my leg and send it to Germany to get a service done on it. And they give me a loan of the leg while that's away. It's one exactly the same as my leg, and they just they transfer all the computer information off my leg onto the loan of the leg, and then send my leg away, get it serviced. Then when mine comes back 6 weeks or 8 weeks later, they transfer all the information from the loan of the leg back onto my leg. And technology's pretty good these days.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And do you find when it comes back from the service in Germany annually that there are improvements and that they help you, or is it more just a maintenance situation?
It's just maintenance. They check the computers out and it's a waterproof leg, so they've got to make sure all the seals are all right and it's all waterproof. And I go swimming with it. It works well.
Yeah. So looking forward to the future, I guess, is playing tennis something you still hope to do as a key part of your life?
Oh, yeah, because I really enjoy it. Even sometimes when if I have a bad night's sleep or something like that, I have to get up at 6:30 to get down to the tennis courts in time and take a cup of coffee down there and have a cup of coffee and a chat with them, with the tennis players, because they're a good social group.
And was there anything in particular that sort of boosted your confidence or inspired you to perhaps return to tennis after your injury? Prior to moving to Singleton, did you return to tennis when you were living down south?
As I said, I was very involved. I was the president of the tennis club down there, and one of the many committees I was president or secretary of. They were gravel courts back in the early days, old anthill gravel courts. And they got a artificial surface put on them, and that made it a bit easier to get around and play on. So through trying to help my wife coach the kids at the tennis courts, I ended up back playing. We used to play night competition and down there, and so it gave me an activity to keep me fit. Apart from walking the dog and doing gardening duties, so I've never sort of sat around and felt sorry for myself. Mm. It's always matter of getting out and doing stuff
and keeping on with it.
Keeping on with it. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for society about including people with disabilities or people who are different or just simply forgotten about in our society?
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's a lot of people that only got time for themselves. They don't think of the bigger picture and what is good for the whole community, not just their little part of community. And there's people with all sorts of issues that they might not see, they might not know about. So they should open their eyes a bit wider and look at what they can do to help everyone in the community. I mean, even people with disabilities even can cause issues sometimes. When I went to the NRMA in John Street, went to walk outside and there was someone on a mobility scooter came past and nearly cleaned me up. You step right straight out onto the footpath there, and it's great they can use their mobility scooters to help them get around and do stuff, but they need to sort of watch out for maybe people stepping out of shops sometimes. Some people could be a little bit irresponsible. But
so, yeah, I guess the takeaway message would be considering all people,
yep,
and including everyone is not only the right thing to do, but is for the greater good of the community at large, so we can all live healthily and prosperously together.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, thanks for having a chat with me, Tony. Yeah. I greatly appreciate your time, and it's been fabulous hearing your insight.